How do you decide the will of God? In the gray areas. Now, we're going to look at that. And, you know, we're going to look at a lot of things. I'm going to break that down into two categories. Because, again, some of the big issues that we struggle with today, right? Should I wear a mask? Or shouldn't I wear a mask? Should I get vaccinated? Or should I not get vaccinated? Should I be a Republican? Or should I be a Democrat? Right? I mean, these are things that that people struggle with today. And so we're going to talk about the will of God and see how do we apply seeking and searching for God's will to these things.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 2, from our series, Answering Your Question About the Will of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How Do I Discover God's Will, Part 2.
Last week, we started a series, and the series title is Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. And as we pointed out last week, there are so many questions that are presented before us today. So many things. And we want to help God's people be able to know what the will of God is in these various situations. You remember last week we talked about you and the will of God. You and the will of God. Notice this. I love this verse. And this was one that has just recently caught my attention as I've studied for this message. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. God has a will for your life, and God wants you to reach the full maturity of that will. You know, I was meditating on this verse this morning. Look what it says here. It says that Epaphras, he is always wrestling for you in prayer. And what is the nature of his wrestle? His wrestling. The nature of his wrestling is that you might know the will of God. Every morning. Now, I was thinking, man, don't you want somebody wrestling for you in prayer that you might know God's will? Every morning, just about, I'll say at least five mornings a week, my wife and I, we pray for our kids and we pray for our grandkids. Every morning, well, again, five mornings, I want to be faithful to what we do, right? At least five mornings a week, we wrestle in prayer for our kids and our grandkids. And one of the prayers that we have is that they might know the will of God for their lives. Don't you want somebody wrestling in prayer for you? That you might know God's will. Who are you wrestling for in prayer? That they might know the will of God. This is very important. And see, not only that they might know the will of God, but notice that he wanted them to reach the full maturity of God's will. I said last week, some people, when they get a certain age, they think it's time to retire. Nowhere in the Bible do you read of God's people retiring. Instead of retiring, we need to be refiring. And as we refire, we need to seek the will of God. We need to find out what it is that God wants us to do. Answering questions about the will of God. So these are some of the questions that we're going to grapple with in this series. We've already answered the first two. What is the will of God? We answered that one last week. The will of God is his purpose. The things that he determines to do, that's God's will. God's will are those things that he determines to do. Now, it comes either according to God's sovereignty or according to our free will. According to God's sovereignty, there are some things that God is going to do that nobody has control over, that nobody can stand up against. Nebuchadnezzar came to that realization when he said there's a God in the heavens and he does whatever he wants to do and no one can stand in his way and nobody can ask him, God, what are you doing? There's a God in heaven, the sovereignty of God, his determined purpose. And then there's God's determined purpose that's based on your free will. You're going to say, where do you get that at, Pastor? Go to the book of Jonah, that God told the Ninevites that it was his will to spare them. It was his determined purpose to spare them. But it was up to them how they responded. That if they responded to the will of God favorably, then his will would be accomplished. If they didn't, then he was going to bring judgment. And so we talked about what is the will of God. God has clearly revealed his will. We dealt with that last week. Three things that we know. Three things that we know. God wants you to be saved, God wants you to be sanctified, and God wants you to be spirit-filled. There's no question about that. You don't have to pray about those things. You don't have to fast about those things. Those are things that God wants true of your life. He wants you saved, sanctified, and spirit-filled. No question about that. Today, we come to this point. How do I discover the will of the Lord for my life? How do you discover the will of the Lord? That's what we're going to deal with today. How do you decide the will of God in the gray areas? Now, we're going to look at that. And, you know, we're going to look at a lot of things. I'm going to break that down into two categories. Because, again, some of the big issues that we struggle with today, right? Should I wear a mask or shouldn't I wear a mask? Should I get vaccinated? Or should I not get vaccinated? Should I be a Republican or should I be a Democrat? Right? I mean, these are things that that people struggle with today. And so we're going to talk about the will of God and see how do we apply seeking and searching for God's will to these things. Does God have a perfect and permissive will? And then what are some things that show that you are not in the will of God? What are some indicators that show that you are not in God's will? We said there are four aspects of God's will. There's the restorative will, where in Adam, we lost everything, but in Christ, they're being restored. And then they'll be ultimately restored one day under the authority of Jesus Christ. There's God's redemptive will, the fact that God decided to save a wretch or wretches like you and me. That God made that decision. It was God's will to save people who didn't deserve to be saved. That's his redemptive will. And so now we get down to the two that are relevant mostly to us that we want to know about. That's his revealed will. And again, we talked about that last week, his revealed will. God has revealed in his word that you be saved. See, you guys are going to get it now. You're going to be saved, sanctified, and spirit-filled. He said that in his word. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is God's will for your life, even your sanctification. And be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but the will of the Lord be filled with the Spirit. And then his relative will, which we are going to talk about today, and that is his purposes as it relates to each individual, his purpose as it relates to you. God's revealed will and God's relative will. His revealed will, again, see, y'all gonna get this now. Y'all gonna get this. His revealed will in his word. This is for everybody. His revealed will, that you be saved, sanctified, and what? All right, you got it. You got it. All right. That's his revealed will, that you be saved, sanctified, spirit-filled. But then there's his relative will, and that's his purposes as it relates to each individual. And so this is individual, and it does not apply to others. That God's will for your life is personal, and it might not necessarily, what God leads you to do, he might not necessarily lead somebody else to do. So this is his personal relative will as it relates to each one of us individually, that his whole will is that everybody be saved, sanctified, spirit-filled. His relative will is individual to your life. And so that's what we want to talk about today, his relative will. And again, we're going to continue this thing next week. How can I find God's will for my life? How can I find God's will for my life? His relative will, his purposes as it relates to each individual. Here we go. Who should I date? Who should I marry? Should I go into full-time ministry? Which job offer should I take? Which college should I attend? Here goes one that might be relevant to a lot of us in here, and that is, when should I retire? Right? You want to retire when God says it's time to retire, right? Here goes one, and notice now, I had to fix this one up because I didn't want anybody getting mad at me, all right? Should I work or stay at home to raise my children? Right? So now, and I said, it could be mom or dad. you can get in trouble with that one right there real quick, right? So I said, because there's dads that are staying home today too. All right, so should I work or stay at home and raise my children? All right, that's a question that people want to know, right? What's God's will for my life? Here goes one, I didn't put this up there, but here goes one that you might want to put in your pipe and smoke it. Which church should I attend? You know, what church does God want me to attend? Right, so these are questions that are relative to the will of God, things that you want to know. I know, you know, again, one that's up there, I see that directly applies to me. All right, when should I retire? I don't know. As long as the Lord gives me help and strength and I feel his call on my life, I'm going to continue on. But that's a question that, you know, you begin to grapple with, right? And when you do it, you want to do it because this is what God wants for you. And so God will clearly show you what to do. So these are some of the things that we ask as we seek his will. Now, there are some radical paradigms that people use for deciding God's relative will. I broke them down into two categories, right? There's absolute fatalism and there's absolute freedom. Absolute fatalism and absolute freedom. Absolute fatalism says that God predestines and controls every aspect of your life and you are powerless to do anything about it, right? That's absolute fatalism, that there's nothing I can do about it. Right? God is going to control it. God is going to take care of my life. And so I might as well just throw my hands high in the air and party hardy like I just don't care. Right? All right? But then there's the other extreme, which says that God has no will for your life, and you decide what his will is. So you know what, saints? Now, we have to find a balance somewhere in between there. So that's what we're going to try to do this morning. You know, it reminds me of the Calvinists, you know, who believe that God, you know, predestines and controls everything, and the Arminianists that believes that we have free will to do anything. And the Calvinist was walking down a set of stairs and tripped and fell and broke his arm. And he said, man, I'm glad that that's over. Some of y'all got that. The Arminius came to the steps and said, it's not my will to go down the steps, so I'll travel another road. Right? So you see the two extremes there. And so we want to reach that extreme in between. I like what David Jeremiah says. David Jeremiah says this. He says, a willing heart is the first step in finding God's will in our lives. A willing heart, that you have to have a willing heart. Remember last week, I said, there's one or two prayers that you can pray. It's either, Father, thy will be done, or Father, my will be done. What's your prayer? Thy will be done, or my will be done. David Jeremiah says that the first thing, the first step in finding God's will is that you have a willing heart. We cannot expect God to force us or plead with us about the calling on our lives. A willing heart. If you want to know God's will for your life, you have to have a willing heart. And when it comes to finding God's will, you have to be careful that you are not led by Satan. And so there are some ways, and again, that we can understand whether it's God that's leading us or if it's Satan. God leads us to his will. Satan pushes us to his will. You know, you see this a lot, right? In people that are in relationships that God does not want them in that relationship. God does not want them in that relationship. And Satan keeps what? Pushing them into the relationship. You know, there's no leading. You know, some people, if you ask, well, did God lead you in that relationship? Well, I don't know if he did or not. Did God lead you? I really don't know if he did. Well, if you don't know if God led you in this relationship, then it's probably Satan pushing you. God enlightens. The devil confuses. That if you are doing something that's in the will of God, God is going, God is going to give you light. And as you follow that light, God gives you more light. But if it's not God's will, man, you're going to be scratching your head. You're going to be confused. And so sometimes we need to stop and see whether we are being enlightened or we are being led down the road to more confusion. God steals. God says, you know, the person that's trusting in God, the person says, you know, God got this. You know, I'm not rushing. You know, why do I need to rush? You know, this. Now, again, there are some times we need to expedite some things, but for the most part, you know, if God is leading us, that he's going to still us. He's going to calm us. But what does Satan do? Satan rushes us. Hurry up, hurry. You got to make a decision. And then Satan stresses you as you deal with these things. So let's unpack this today. How do I decide God's relative will for my life? The first thing you got to do, if you are going to know God's will for your life, who you should marry, where you should go to school, whether or not you should do this or that, the first thing that you got to do, you got to cry out to God in prayer. You got to cry out to God in prayer. In Psalm 31, verse 3, the psalmist says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake," what did he say? "Lead me and guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I will not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord. Lead me." You got to cry out to God in prayer. You know, I love what the message says of Psalm 31, verse 3. Listen to this. The message says, "Be my safe leader." Listen to this. "Be my true mountain guide." My true mountain guide. As we go through life, God's will is like traveling through a mountain. And as we travel through the mountain, there are peaks, and there are crevices, and there are dark places, and there are slippery places. And so we pray, "God, I don't know what your will is. Lord, but you know what it is. Lord, be my mountain guide. Guide me through this will, the will to your will in my life." Are you praying? Are you praying about the will of God. We need a mountain God. The psalmist said, I lift my eyes unto the hills. Now, we've traditionally been taught that the hills are the blessing, right? I lift my eyes to the hills. Yeah. But if you go back and look at the psalm in its context, the hills are the problem. The hills are not where the answer is. The hills are the problem. It's Psalm 121. It's the traveler's psalm. Lord, I'm getting ready to go on a trip. As I go on the trip, I look up and there's mountains. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Look, I need somebody to help me through these mountains. I lift my eyes to the hills. And then go back and read it. He says, where does my help come from? He's scratching his head. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is going to guide me through these mountains as I seek to know his will. Number one, cry out to the Lord in prayer. Number two, how do you decide God's relative will for your life? You've got to delight yourself in the Word of God. You've got to delight yourself in the Word of God. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. You know why you should be in the Word of God when you are trying to find the will of God? It's because the Word of God prepares the soil of your heart. The Word of God prepares the soul of your heart to receive the will of God. Right? Reading the Word of God, it's like putting fertilizer in the ground. It's making the ground rich. It's making the ground fertile so that when God reveals his will, that when God plants his will, that you know that it's God's will because your heart has been fertilized by the Word of God. And you know, a lot of people are trying to make decisions and they're not in the Word of God. You know what? I'll be honest with you. If I had to make a major decision in my life, I wouldn't make it if I wasn't in God's Word. I would not make it, because it goes back to the graphic that I showed you earlier. Is it God leading you or is it Satan pushing you? And so many people are making decisions and their heart has not been fertilized by the Word of God. That if you want to know the will of God, it says that in his delight is in the instruction of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. Now, I'm not trying to get you to be a Bible freak or Bible fanatic, but I'm going to say this, that we should try to, as much as possible, expose our souls to the Word of God.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 2, from our series, Answering Your Question About the Will of God. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. The entire series by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh 20, through your prayers and gifts that will remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse, Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reading the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.